Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 78, and it's a Monday, January 15, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone. There's kind of a weird audio we're doing right now. We're kind of recording via FaceTime right now, so it's kind of different. Yeah. If you guys are hearing the audio really weird, so please bear with us. So, before we go on, it's the... what do you call this? This is the Gay Geek Bazaar, and we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. And we also do our weekend updates. Been busy, but before we do that, Ray, really sad happened just about a few hours ago. I guess it happened this afternoon. The Cranberries singer Dolores O'Riordan.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God, I've always loved her songs. She's, the Cranberries are a really awesome band, an awesome Irish band. And yeah, so the Cranberries singer died at 46. She's so young. Didn't know she was just a couple years older than me. Anyway, so it's really sad that we lost a very talented singer.
Yep.
So what's going to happen now with the Cranberries? I don't know.
Well, but two more singers are going to die now.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? It's going to be.
It always happens in threes.
Is that okay? All right, so let's do our weekend updates. Ray, what have you been up to?
Well, let's see. I went shopping this weekend, bought some more shoes, cooked dinner for some friends. And no, I did not make pork, sushi, and rice for them. I did Mexican.
I saw the pictures of that.
So that's one of our biggest trending things that we've published in the last 2 weeks. It's got like 150 hits, so go check it out. But I'm not doing pork, sushi, and rice.
You don't eat too much sushi either. It'd be nice, though, eat the pork sushi.
Yeah, and I've been watching a bunch of movies this weekend because I've kind of been staying at home and not doing too much and doing stuff around here. But I watched a few movies on Amazon Prime. Before the Fall, which is a romance, which is actually a very decently made movie, very beautiful film. It's filmed in the mountains of Virginia. Into the Lion's Den, which was an attempt at gay horror. It wasn't too bad. It was just low budget. And then I watched two movies that it was so bad I had to watch it.
It's so bad you had to watch it.
Yeah. The first movie is called Vampires Bright and Darkness. And the second movie, which is the second part to the story, Vampires Lucas Rising. And basically it was really cute, half-naked English boys hissing at each other all through the movie.
I bet. So, that's interesting, Ray.
Yeah. So, I also saw another one. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was Something to the Blue. It was about being in the Air Force during Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the witch hunts that happened and one guy losing his career over it and stuff. It was a pretty interesting movie. I'll have to look it back up because that's one of the first ones I watched, but I forgot to put it on here. So.
Oh, okay. Well, what happened last weekend? I went to New Orleans. I was there for the weekend. And, of course, I had to hang out with Mike. And it's really awesome to visit New Orleans once in a while. And actually, we were there just to drink with some of his buddies. And we just drank beer during the night and watched football at night. And just really hung out. We didn't do much, really. And installed Mike's new TV. And that's it. So when you visit... Ray, when you visit New Orleans, you'll be able to see the new TV. Which has a built-in Roku. It's pretty cool. So you can just watch whenever. Also, on the way, because, it's a long drive. So it's about 6-hour drive. So I was able to listen to Artemis. It's a new book by Andy Weir. It's written by Andy Weir. And he's the writer of The Martian. If you guys... You've always seen the movie, right, Ray?
Yeah.
The Martian. And, it's starring Matt Damon. But this is a different kind of a suspense thriller. It's a kind of a straight suspense thriller, sci-fi, and it's set on the moon. So humans have already colonized and people colonized the moon, and there are people living there already, and people are even born there. Yep. So it's really interesting because the, you know, being born there and you're or living there for the longest time, and you only live with 1/6 of Earth's gravity, so you always have to contend with, you know, you could probably jump high all the time, more than usual. So
you just can't come back. You just can't come back to Earth.
No, you can't. That's the problem. One of the things there that it's almost like a death sentence. That if you're
but I think it was the moon's a harsh mistress. The logic was that because there's not as much gravity, is that you live twice as long.
Oh yeah, probably. They didn't tackle that, but there's a lot of science in it. So the way Andy Weir does these books, the way he did Martian and he did Artemis, that it's all about science. He makes sure that he does the right calculations, the right science, the right angles. It's always scientifically sound. And when he writes the book, he would make sure that he would pretend that Neil deGrasse Tyson is watching him.
Yeah.
Just right behind him, looking at his calculations to see if you're right, you know. So it's pretty interesting because he's always very, very meticulous about those things because,
that's good.
Yeah. So yeah, I suggest you read it, Ray. It's pretty good. Pretty good book.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let's go to our stories, Ray. All right. So do you take this first gay? It's really sad.
Okay. Man who murdered gay couple flipped off the victim's families as he was sentenced to death. A man convicted of killing a gay couple in Florida flipped off the victim's family after the jury recommended the death penalty. Peter Avsenu, 32, was convicted of murder in the 2010 deaths of Kevin Mark Powell, 47, and Stephen Adams, 52, in Wilton Manors, a city near Fort Lauderdale with a large LGBT population.
Oh my God, I may have heard about this story.
Prosecutors said he used Craigslist to get invited to the victim's home and then killed and robbed them, leaving with their money, a car, and other belongings. During the sentence hearing, he opted to defend himself instead of letting a lawyer present arguments. He expressed no regret and did not ask the jury to spare his life. "My job here is simple," he said. "I don't have to prove anything to you as clearly as the state's proven. All I have to do is be here and behave. It's up to you to decide life or death based on the information provided to you throughout the entire trial. I have no regrets in my life, and I am proud of the decision I've made. No one really knows what happened that day. Everyone can speculate what-ifs and maybes until they're blue in the face, which you'll never really know." The prosecutor showed the jury pictures of the victims. It took them 2 hours to agree to recommend the death penalty. Minutes after the sentencing, he flipped off the victim's family, showing that it wasn't easy to be there and behave. "In my heart of hearts, I knew he was making that gesture to us, and he admitted he had made the gesture to our family," said Marcy Craig, one of the victim's sisters. "After what happened in that courtroom just now, I'm happy he's being put to the death penalty," said Missy Baggett, sister of the other victim. The judge described the gesture as unwise because he has not yet been formally sentenced. The jury can only recommend the death penalty. A judge has to order it. His attorneys argue that he went to the couple's house and found them already dead and that he didn't call 911 because he was working for the couples as an escort. Prosecutors said that there was no evidence that he worked as an escort. Shortly after the couple's death, he showed up at his mother's door and said that he had done something worse than ever before. While staying with his mother, he searched the web several times for information about the investigation into the killings. He also threatened his mother. "Peter has chased me with a samurai sword," his mother said. "Peter has a gun, had a shotgun with my name on the bullet." When she checked her computer browser here, she saw the search web a few times for the information about the investigations into the killings, and she got worried. "All I can think of is that if he did that to them, what will he do to me?" She turned her son into the police.
Well, it's good for her mom to think about that she's feeling for her life.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, you know, her son.
Yeah.
So this is in Wilton.
Yeah, don't mess with your mom. If you're staying with her to protect your life, don't mess with your mom.
Yeah. Stop or my mom will shoot. Yeah, so it's really sad that this is Wilton Manors. Oh my God, because this is where it's a big gay mecca there in Fort Lauderdale. Mike stays there. Yeah. He goes there every year, and he likes when he does his vacation, he always stays in that area. And we also have a friend who lives around there, our friend Vincent, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really sad that that happened. I should ask him about it. He might know the guys. Oh, my God, that's really sad. Wow. Anyway, condolences to the families of the victims. Okay, let's do the next story here, which is landmark court case bring marriage equality to 20 countries with one ruling. Wow. It's amazing. Okay, so the Western Hemisphere is rejoicing over the ruling in marriage equality case out of Costa Rica. Not only is the ruling binding for the Central American country, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights rulings also sets precedent for 19 other countries who have agreed to abide by the court's decision. A handful of the countries under the court's jurisdiction already have marriage equality, but most do not. Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, and Uruguay, or Uruguay, people say, already recognize same-sex marriage, so do several states in Mexico. Chile and Ecuador currently recognize same-sex civil unions, but not marriages. The ruling is legally binding in Argentina, Barbados, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Suriname, and Uruguay.
You're
Didn't
gay.
I say that already?
You're gay.
So shortly after the ruling was announced, the Costa Rican government announced that it would comply with the ruling. A marriage equality bill pending in Chile and a court case in Panama will be bolstered by the court's ruling. Today is a historic day, a day of light. The Inter-American Court vindicates the rights of LGBTI persons under the American Convention and reminds all the states of their responsibility and historical moral obligation to this population. Costa Rican Vice President Ana Helena Chacon said. The government's official Twitter account sent out a tweet announcing their decision to comply with the ruling. It's in Spanish. Love is a human condition that must be respected without any discrimination. The state ratifies its commitment to comply with the advisory opinion of the hashtag IACHR. I don't know what that means.
That's the legally binding group.
Oh, yeah, okay. In the Western Hemisphere, homosexuality is criminalized in Barbados, Jamaica, and Trinidad and Tobago. Dominica, Grenada, and Jamaica do not submit to the rulings of the court. Yeah, Jamaica and Trinidad heard about that, that they're not, they don't support the gay marriage. They don't like homosexuality at all. They don't.
The hashtag stands for the Inter-American Court of Human Rights.
Ah, okay. Cool. Oh, yeah, it's really great that, one fell swoop, it just covers 20 countries all in one ruling. That's awesome. It's so people can get married, can get gay married in those countries now. I mean, that's a good sign. It's becoming more mainstream. People are being more accepting. That's really good to hear. All right, let's go to the geek ray. Oh, my God.
I'll let you do this first one.
Okay. I heard about this. It's really horrible that this has to happen to people. I mean, and what's alarming was the result. That what I read about. So, okay, let's look at this one. False ballistic missile alert sends Hawaii into complete panic. Honolulu, Hawaii. People in Hawaii received alerts Saturday morning warning of an approaching missile and instructing people to seek shelter. But authorities quickly declared the messages were sent in error. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Read a mobile push notification delivered around 8 a.m. local time. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Oh, my God, he even said that. It is not a drill. In hotels, guests heard a similar message over intercoms as others were interrupted while watching TV. the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency and the Honolulu Department of Emergency Management assured Twitter followers there was no missile threat to the state shortly afterwards. Authorities confirmed there was no impending threat within 5 to 10 minutes of the alert after contacting the state's civil defense. Corporal L. Miller of Honolulu Police Department Kahuku Substation told Huffington Post. But why it took so long to notify the public, it is still unclear. If the alert was real, the sirens would have gone off at the same time, Miller said, adding that people would have around 15 minutes to take cover. A correction was not sent to mobile phones, however, until around 38 minutes after the initial alert. There is no missile threat or danger to the state of Hawaii. False alarm, it read. So, in response to the false alert, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency will require two people to sign off on alerts before they are broadcast, according to Aegis office. The agency has also installed a cancellation command that can be automatically triggered within seconds if an error alert is accidentally broadcast. All emergency warning drills are suspended until EMA completes a full analysis of Saturday's mishap. See, that's the problem. Somebody was really an asshole to do this. Do you think it was hacked? The system was hacked, Ray?
I don't know.
Disgruntled employee, maybe?
Reading the whole story, there was complete and utter panic all over Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And people were calling their families and telling them goodbye. They love you. People were driving. The interstates got, the streets got locked down because people were trying to get out of the city and blah, blah, blah. So. Apparently, the good thing is it also showed them what's going to happen if it ever does happen. So apparently, yeah. They need to do some more strategic planning and training and drills to get people used to following along.
See, that's the hard part of this one. This is in Honolulu. That, you know, we're a sovereign country. We are, you know, it's really sad that we are now in that state that we are fearing this, that Honolulu, that the Hawaii has to fear this because so, you know.
Well, that's no worse than the 50s during the Cold War here when there was a threat from the Russians launching a bomb at us.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not in the 50s anymore. This is the 2017s.
I know.
We're going back to that fear.
This is the 2018s.
We're still fearing year. It. Yeah. And then. We're still fearing these things.
But it's not Russia this time. It's one crazy little Korean fat dude.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
anyway, so it's really sad that that people in Hawaii. I'm sorry, Hawaii people of Hawaii, that you had to go through this. But who knows? What's next? New York. Which ones are the Bay cities? New York, San Francisco. They will be receiving these threats, and you know what's really sad was
Hawaii was labeled that because it's the closest target and could probably actually happen before they could shoot it down or take defensive measures before it got to the continental U.S.
Sometimes I think what if it really happened and they really were able to test the U.S. actually was able to test the defenses and were able to neutralize that ballistic missile.
Well, I think if that had happened, the nut job sitting in the White House would have started pushing red buttons everywhere, and it'd been a whole different story. So,
But now
conspiracy theorists are probably going to come up and say that happened, that it was shot down, and it was shut down so that wouldn't be cause a major panic across the world and affect the economy and do all this other crazy stuff. But I'm on my meds today, so I can't say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, so yeah, it's really sad that they have to go through that and to think that it actually went through everybody's cell phones, everybody's alerts. Oh my God, I can't believe they can even that easily.
Like, we got all this tech so we can connect immediately, but we can't go back and say, oops, we screwed up in a timely manner. We have to wait almost 38 minutes to do it.
Yeah, that's really sad.
So I'm sure somebody will lose their job over it.
Oh yeah, probably a team or something.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray, this is your story. The next story is all yours. It's all about sex dolls, so go ahead.
All right. We talked the other week about our bionic sex dolls, so now we got some more information. New bionic sex dolls are the deepest on the market and come with interchangeable heads.
That's freaky.
The newest robots, which will be released later this year, feature an impressive 4.5-inch oral capacity. Well, that's not much. As well as a 6-inch standard anal entry. That's not anything at all. I mean, what's going to happen to the other 3 inches? Making them one of the deepest male sex dolls on the market. The new robots will also come in 2 different body builds, muscular or runner, as well as a variety of skin tones and eye colors. Penis size or male dog penis attachments are customizable and range from 5.5 long to 11 inches long.
Wow, impressive. So,
but they didn't say anything about any bear ones, Maynard.
Yeah, so, that's pretty sad. Muscle. So, going to get muscle in the runner.
Do you have a hard time making decisions? No worries. Real Doll has the standard real cock attachment option, which measures a respectable 6.5 inches. As an added bonus, the new robots will also have interchangeable heads. Is it like talking heads? So when the novelty effect kicks in and you get sick of boning George, you can pop off his head and have sex with Robert instead. No. So Real Dolls start at $6,000, but for an extra $150 if you want him to have hair. So Maynard, you probably have to pay an extra $300 to have full body hair. Maybe $600 to pay full body hair.
Or go to a store or Adam and Eve in a local store or adult store just to buy a wig.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So what's the story?
Or just go buy some fake fur and sew it around the parts.
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, so you can get one of these dolls and then you can like sew some fake fur on its chest and everything and then stuff it up so it looks like it's got a big hairy belly.
Yeah.
And then ride away.
Yep. So this should have been a bizarre really, I think.
That's not bizarre. I don't see it. But here. Here's the deal. Science fiction movies forever has been portraying people having sex dolls.
Okay.
So the technology is finally here.
You're excited about it, aren't you, Ray? So are you going to start saving for this? Or?
No, I don't need one of these.
Do you know people who would really save for this?
I'm sure there are some real serious introverted people that might go for this.
No, maybe. We'll see. All right. Let's go to the bizarre. Okay.
Okay. You want to take the first one or you want to do the second?
I'll take this one.
Okay.
So Tide Pods Challenge is the newest deadly trend among teenagers. Oh, my God.
Dumbasses.
Here we go again. So the Tide Pods Challenge is the latest dangerous trend gaining traction with their teenagers on social media, sending some to the hospital. The challenge, in quotes, the challenge requires kids to ingest small laundry detergent packages and post videos of themselves doing so online, many showing the unsurprising side effects of swallowing household cleaners, like choking, gagging, and vomiting. In the videos, some kids attempt cooking the packs of pan, frying them before consumption, sparking the creation of countless memes across the internet poking fun at the dangerous new game. And there's even a hypothetical edible Tide Pods recipe that requires a baking sheet. God, this guy's crazy. Sprite and parchment paper. So the pods, of course, are supposed to be used as a replacement for traditional liquid clothing detergent. But according to WSOCTV.com, their purpose was skewed by a satirical story published by The Onion in 2015. The story was about a child devouring the pods after mistaking them for candy. Then in March 2017, the comedy website College Humor shared the video entitled "Don't Eat the Laundry Pods," in which a man downs an entire bowlful and ends up carted off by the EMTs on a stretcher. "I don't regret it. I don't regret it," the actor in the spoof video repeats while foaming at the mouth. There were about 10,500 reported incidents of children aged 5 years old and younger having dangerous encounters with the pods in 2017, according to the American Association of Poison Control Centers. Swallowing the detergent could lead to diarrhea, vomiting, difficulty breathing, and even death. Ooh. The Poison Control Center says to drink a full glass of water or milk if a pod is ingested.
Milk does the body good.
Yeah. Not to force yourself to vomit and contact a doctor immediately. Wow.
Okay. See, any of these kids that do this are playing on the Darwin Darwin theory. Evolution theory.
So it's really written and everything that it should not be ingested and things like that, but still people are just dumbasses, I guess, to do it.
Well, yeah.
And have you ever tasted soap? When you were a kid, Ray, did you ever get soap in your mouth?
I can't remember. That was so long ago. I don't even know if they'd invented soap back then.
Oh, God. Why? Were you born when Eve was still a rib?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the next story, you know, Ray.
There was like Satan cast out of heaven, Lilith, Adam, Eve. And I think I came out of Lilith somewhere, you know.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Okay. All right. On to the final bizarre. This was pretty funny. It's talking about dumbasses. Man overdoses on Viagra in airport, strips naked, and hurls his own poo at everyone. A man swallowed too many Viagra and rampaged naked through the airport screaming nonsense at people before hurling lumps of his own poo at passersby. Now, this is interesting because I think this year you'll be able to start buying Viagra over the counter is what's trying to be happening. Stephen Cho, 27, from New York, who had to be subdued by six airport security guards in Phuket Airport, Thailand, after smashing through shops, destroying goods. Witnesses Wani Ming, 28, said, "This is the scariest and most disgusting thing I ever saw in an airport." Apparently, she hadn't been in the bathrooms in some senators. "I stayed away from the man in case he attacked anybody." The airport staff tried to make him calm down. They were talking to him, but he ignored them. It was very bad. The airport did a good job to control him. A statement from Phuket International Airport said that the man admitted to taking too many Viagra drugs. I guess he was getting ready for a party when he got off the plane.
Yeah.
The statement said, "To control the situation and to prevent any danger that might happen to other passengers, the officers had to arrest the man. The officers brought him into the walkway on the north side of the terminal to avoid other passengers and managed to calm him down at the tourist center on the first floor."
There's a problem with this. I don't think Viagra does that to you. Maybe too much blood in the head?
I don't know. That's just the excuse. He might have been doing other drugs, but it all depends.
Because Viagra doesn't.
But there's video.
That.
If you go look at the article on Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook, you can see the video and the pictures of him running through the airport slinging poo and screaming at people naked.
Oh, my God. Is he cute, though?
It's hard to tell because you don't get a close-up, you know. Oh, okay. That distance, all Asians look alike.
So he's running around. If he's taking too many Viagra drugs, then he's got a hard-on running around.
Oh, who knows? You can't. Well, he's Asian, so you can't really see it.
What? Well, at least you could see an acorn in a bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably running around. No, he's from Thailand. So if he's from Thailand, he's uncut.
He's from New York.
From New York. That's right. He's in Thailand, though. Yeah, that's right.
But he flew into Thailand. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Apparently, he had a hookup ready to go at the airport. He was going to be getting on with the cab from the airport because he was popping Viagra.
That's allegedly dangerous, though. If you take too much Viagra, that you could have a permanent penis damage.
I don't know. Never taken Viagra.
Right. I never tried Viagra myself, too. Anyway, I guess...
I'm sure it's been tried on you.
Oh, don't think so. All right, let's... So that's it. That's our stories. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Go to the official website, gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call us and...
Nobody ever calls us, though, Maynard.
No.
They never call us.
No. You still say it. You still say it. You still say it, though. You still say it.
The voicemail number, which is 281-947-2327, but nobody ever calls.
Yeah, but still you say it, just like the website.
It's like I was a teenager waiting by the phone for a boy to call. Mm-hmm. They never call.
Uh-huh. It's part of the tagline of the whole site, okay? Of the whole show. So you still have to say it. Anyway,
they don't call us. They don't love us.
Yeah,
nobody
right.
calls and leaves voice messages.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.